remember back in the 80s, wasn't there a TV program called The Y Bird or something like that?
The Y Bird.
It just came to my head. Also, the word Y makes me think of, is it an Annie Lennox song?
Why? Yeah.
Don't know the next lyric, though.
No, I'm just looking up the Y Bird TV show.
Was it
this one.
What's it look like? The Y Bird.
Yeah, the Y Bird. Channel 4. Oh, no. No, it aired in 1996.
Oh, okay. Well, that probably was around...
No. Here we go. No.
Anna.
Oh, no, Y-Bird. No, on CBB.
That didn't
BBC
exist
TV.
BBC, yeah.
Yes, the Y-Bird.
There wasn't even four or five channels when I was a
child. No, the Y-Bird. Yes, and then it got stopped. No, I do remember. Sorry.
The Y-Bird. Anyway.
Yes. Oh, my God. The Y-Bird on BBC TV. Yes.
Well, the Y or Y... is our subject and why we've chosen why and how many times can I say why in this one sentence?
Because why is so important. Because once you know your why, your how is easy.
Sorry. It's just meant to be a very serious podcast.
Oh my God.
And why do we always start being such nincompoops?
Oh, nincompoops. Yeah. Like someone said to me the other day about the podcast, you two are great. But you do waffle a lot. Do you know, if I went on Mastermind, my specialised subject would be waffle.
Potato.
Potato and waffle. Phil, yesterday, when I was sat down, I was talking to him and he said, Anna, you do chat some absolute. And he put a swear word in there. I find that I'm really skilled at just waffling rubbish.
Well, this is the place to be.
Exactly. But no, on a serious note, we really want to talk to you today about your reason, your why you want to lose weight, why you want to lose weight and keep it off, why you want to be healthy, why you want to food optimize, why you want to make better choices. Because once you have figured out your reasons, the actual principles of doing it become so much easier because you are really, really motivated. It's when you're going for the wrong why or you think you should be doing it, that's when I encounter people just not being very successful.
It's almost like you have to peel the onion, don't you? What initially comes to your head isn't always the actual real core reason.
It's actually far from it sometimes, isn't it? It really is like, I should do it because I need to be healthy. I hear this a lot. I want to be healthy. I need to be healthy. I should do it. The doctors told me I should do it, or I feel like I should because of my BMI is not low enough. But why do you want to do it? So, Claire, have you got a why?
I think as I start to kind of peel back mine, and my first layer is looking at photos and clothes, that I have a wardrobe of amazing, cool clothes, and then I don't have the confidence to wear those things.
Really?
Gradually, my clothes become dark, black.
We're both sat in black today, aren't we?
Hey, blue, maybe. Oh,
I've got a bit of gold.
I've got brown socks.
Yeah.
With teddy bears on.
Oh, have you?
To add, you know, this is all painting pictures.
I've got pink knickers, if that makes you feel any better.
Okay.
And a white bra.
So Anna's clearly further on journey than I am.
But it's underneath the black, though, Claire, isn't it?
But you know what I mean? I mean, I started to kind of... I narrow down my life into I'm only wearing black leggings. I always wear a black long top with a insert generic dress over the top and repeat and repeat. And then you get to the end of the week and you take your washing out of the washing machine. You're like, oh God, it's so dreary.
I've got a mummy wardrobe, like a sweatshirt, leggings, and then a nice pair of trainers.
Yeah.
Who am I?
And I was just thinking, this isn't represent who I am.
No.
You know, I am a vibrant, colourful,
cool, if you look at your hair, look at your hairstyle. It's so vibrant and so energetic. Well,
it's red and I've got an undercut on
one
side.
I love the undercut.
Yeah, it's my inner rebel.
I love it.
I got that undercut when I left my permanent job.
Did you? Yeah. Were you like, fingers up, here you go.
Handing my notice in, the next day went and got an undercut.
Did you?
Yeah.
Love that.
But then to the photos, the clothes come to it. Health has been a big thing. But I think at the heart of it is kind of feeling proud of who I am and what I'm becoming. And I heard the phrase, let go of the person you were and become the person you are, which really jumped out of me. And my biggest motivator in life, really, is to make my family proud of who I am.
Aww.
I want them to look and hear and see the things that I do and be proud of me.
But Claire, you could not be proud of you.
No, but there are ways, I suppose, that you can beat yourself up in the things that stop you,
yeah,
by just taking a few wrong, bad choices along the way. And sometimes you just do that. But I don't know. I think that my why of life is to make my family proud. Mm. And how do I go about do that? And how do I build my own confidence? And what do I define as success? Mm. And then the kind of the food fits in on a bigger picture thing,
much
which
bigger.
Helps my health. It keeps me slim so I can wear these clothes and keep that confidence high. So it is like peeling that onion.
There's so many whys, aren't there?
And I love this mind mapping thing where I just write something in the middle.
Love this.
And then I just let, I mean, there's this thing called scatter focus, which I've started doing now. I'm self-employed. Rather than just hammer each day where I am only thinking of what I'm going to do goals-wise. Mm. Okay, I'm going to make 3 calls. I'm going to make this much money. I'm going to get 2 new clients. I'm going to write a blog post. I actually plan in, okay, I'm also going to allow myself an hour to daydream and just doodle and scatter focus and allow my mind to breathe. And often those are the times when
it comes out.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you know, I had a totally different why. My why was thrust upon me, which is a really difficult thing. And I suppose what I'm trying to say is the why that was thrust upon me made me realise it wasn't my why. So I damaged my spine in 2009 and I had a BMI of just over 42. And to have spinal reconstruction, I had to have, this is like a warning coming up, I had to have an abdominal incision and all my bowel removed, put on a separate operating table, and my spine totally stripped back and reconstructed. The surgeon termed it a barbaric surgery. But what it meant is that I couldn't have a BMI over 25, but ideally 23. Because the surgery was so dangerous to my spine, but also to my heart and stuff like that.
Could you have died?
Yeah. I had a 10%... No. There was 1 in 10% chance of being totally paralysed, and very easily could have died because of the nature. You go anywhere near the spinal cord and you're going to, you know, you're facing trouble. Also having, you know, hammers taken to your spine and all sorts of things. So I had the joints that hold your spine, your vertebrae together. I had them removed. I had parts of the vertebrae removed, the discs removed, and then these metal cages put in. So I was like, I think it was 8 hours in surgery. But I had to be well, I had to be fit, I had to have a low BMI to have that done. So when that's thrust upon you and you're like, God, my whole life is hanging in the balance of, can I have a baby? Can I go back to work? Can I walk? Can I function on a daily basis? And my weight is potentially stopping me. That almost stopped motivating me. It was too big.
Mm.
I felt overpowered by it. I also felt like I've been told to do it. I'm quite rebellious, if you noticed. I don't like to be told what to do. And that really should have been enough, shouldn't it? It should have motivated me, but it really didn't. So I had to find out what my why was. And for me, my why comes at 2 different levels. I used to look in the mirror and be so disgusted at what I saw, like in just my underwear, like, absolutely repulsed, not empowered, not feel good, but look at it and think how unattractive I was, how disgusting I was, like every negative connotation that you have around someone, that's what would come out. So my why was I wanted that not to happen. I wanted to look in the mirror and think, wow, look how beautiful your body is. Look what it's done for you. Look how healthy it is. You know, look what changes you've made. I also have another why, which is slightly different, and people in my role will probably understand, whereas I'm standing in front of hundreds and hundreds of people each week, and do you know what? I feel a pressure, no one puts this on me, that people want to look at me and be inspired, like, oh yeah, she does it, she looks good. So that's a pressure I've put on myself, no one's done that. So I guess it's to look good, feel confident. Also, I like clothes and I don't want to have to go and buy any more blinking swing dresses. Do you know what I mean? Because I hold my weight on my tummy, got very skinny legs and then like this apple. And I also get hamster cheeks. So I want to feel really confident. Can you not see them? Look, they're really high.
I'm amazed sometimes at how glamorous you are at 8 a.m. on Saturdays.
Yeah, but you don't pay to tip up to someone in their tracksuit bottoms, do you? Like, I have been tempted some days.
Do you know what? I don't care. I pay to have someone who's real and openly says the things that struggle with them as well as the things that they are successful at.
Yeah, but I know for me, to be like working and feel professional, I've got to have my hair done, I've got to put my makeup on, I've got to have some sort of leopard print somewhere going on. So yeah, your why, I think, if it's in not right, will not motivate you to do it, is what I've found. Because when my pressure to learn my BMI was so big, it made me binge eat. It really, really did. Because I thought, don't care, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But the moment I found out that I wanted to feel good in my clothes, that I wanted to feel good about my body, I wanted to be able to go into any clothes shop, was the moment I got motivated.
So it's about breaking it down sometimes.
Yes. So shall I help you with how that might happen?
Well, I just also want to pick up for you, because you've done it for quite a long time and that surgery was a number of years ago, that surely your why has changed.
Yeah. It's still quite a, what's the word? Vanity driven one now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think because my body's been through so much medical trauma in the last 10 years, health is always paramount, but I want to look good in a pair of skinny jeans. I would love to be, it's going to sound really vain. Oh my God, it's all going to come out now. I'd love to be someone that someone looked at and be like, oh, I'd love to have Anna's bum. Anna's got a great bum, or Anna's got really great arms. And I don't know why. I think because I was berated so badly as a child and a teenager about my weight, I'd love someone to be like, Anna's hot. Anna's beautiful. Do you know?
Is that you?
Oh no, but bless you. But I don't feel that. I want someone to go, oh yeah, Anna's hot. Look how great she looks in her jeans.
But why? Why can't you go and get that yourself? Because relying on other people to say that is...
Yeah, is, but that's where my issue is, isn't it? You see, I've got a husband who has loved me whatever size, and he will always give me that praise and love that I need, but it's strangers. I think I really caved to peer pressure. God, it's all coming doubling out of my mouth right now. I think it is... Social media doesn't help, does it?
No.
Like those girls with like stomachs. Like I hold my weight on my tummy. Like you don't have anything to grab and have got muscle. You know.
If you're only about 19, wait till you're like in your 30s. I mean, I've not even had children and my boobs are hanging by my...
I'm swinging near 40 and my boobs are like... You can't see that. Spaniel's ears.
Wear good bras in your 20s.
Seriously, wear good bras and, And also when you've lost weight, you've gained weight, they become...
deflated.
Yeah, I'd love a boob job. Really would. Love a boob job. Anybody out there who'd like to sponsor the podcast and give me a boob job, I'm with you, sister. No. So yeah, I think my why also now in a real... different note is I want Daisy to have a great body image. I want her to have a great relationship with food. So I want her to see me eating well and feeling really positive about my body, because my mum really struggled with her weight. And I don't want Daisy to be like, oh, mummy can't eat this, she's on a diet. Oh, mummy can't do this because she's too big. I want to go on every slide. I want to, if we're having an ice cream, say, yes, mummy can choose to have an ice cream, or no, mummy's okay. So I think she's my bigger picture now. And also she's a girl that, you know, I'm going to have to teach about the psychology of food, about loving herself. So that needs to start young. So she's my why.
The family thing is interesting, because one of the things that I love doing when I go home, actually, my mum's got Sky TV, which feels like a treat.
Oh, have you not got it?
No. No.
You're not here enough.
No. But I love binge watching, if that's the right phrase, Biggest Loser TV series.
Do you watch the American one?
Well, I watched the Australia one back.
Yeah.
Around Christmas, New Year time, and I forgot, I journaled about this episode, and it's one of those programmes that when I watch it, it just makes me want to like blub my little heart out. And so the first episode, they were doing the series where it was with families. So families had joined as teams.
Who all needed to lose weight.
Yes. And so they stepped onto the scales and it's they had to say their name and how much they weighed. And in front of a room full of family and friends and other contestants, they had to explain why they're doing it. And some of these people had never actually said to their family, what the internal battle was. So you could see the family kind of feeling like, oh my God, I didn't know that about you. And actually one woman said, and her daughter was in the crowd, that she wanted her daughter, that when the daughter had said on camera, when I grow up, I want to be like my mom. And the mom said that she couldn't imagine anything worse because she hated herself. And that for her, that was her why, that she wanted, if her daughter had kind of put her as a role model, then she wanted to make sure she was taking responsibility. And even like the cultural things as well, like there was a Samoan family who their culture had kind of been these big family gatherings. The portion sizes were huge, out of control. They loved eating. And actually, when the trainer got down to what it was with their why, it kind of showed that in their culture, in the history, back maybe, I don't know, a generation or two ago, there were often three or four families living in one house together, and they were in poverty. So food was seen as a luxury and that it should never be wasted. So now they'd kind of started to build themselves up. Then they kind of had almost got to that point where, well, that kind of thinking was a luxury and it used to serve me. But actually, if we don't stop doing what we're doing in this situation, one of us is going to die.
Wow.
Powerful. And I think it was incredible to watch brothers talking to each other, having these conversation. You know, husband and wives having these conversations for the first time. And that was incredible, really. Because I think, well, you know, I go through doing Slimmer World on my own. Mm. I don't have a brother or sister doing it. I've got a sister-in-law who's doing Slimmer World while she's pregnant, actually.
Oh, well done you.
So, and my mom's always curious about this, but I have like a pal that I kind of, as a buddy to keep in touch with, but you enter into the Slimmer World group and I almost feel like that becomes my new
Slimming
World
family,
yeah, isn't,
it's
it?
Mad, isn't it?
And then you hold each other accountable and you buddy up with people and you ask people how they're doing and you stop people leaving the group when you see that they're really struggling.
Yeah.
So that kind of accountability is really powerful. And often I think that we spot each other's why before we know our own why.
Yes, very true. I can see it in people as members and they have no idea. Absolutely no idea, because they come in with one reason and actually, you know, underneath it, it's a totally, totally different one. And I think we can trudge through a journey and think we've kind of got it. And then it hits us when we hit target. Mm. And I see a lot of people who really struggle to maintain their weight loss because they've lost their reason, because their reason to lose weight is totally different to their reason to keep it off, isn't it?
Mm.
So I think you have to keep reevaluating your reason at different times. And that's why we have, if you're a group member, we have something, and you can get this online, but you could do it as your own, something called a for and against list. So have you ever done one of these, Claire?
A long time ago.
Oh, her face totally changed. I don't think she enjoyed the process.
No, it's just, it's kind of one of those things that, hey, I probably should do one.
Yeah, do you know, so a for and against list is when you've kind of lost that want. You've kind of lost that reason why your weight loss is your important focus, why you are your important focus, and you've lost sight of what you're going to gain from losing weight and kind of are only thinking about the things you're going to gain from not food optimizing. So what really helps me is the questions it asks, because it really provokes your thinking. So I just thought I'd run through a few of these because it may help some of our people listening. So why do I want to be slim? Now, this seems like quite an easy question. What is it that you're going to get from being slim? Well, is it that you're going to get in your skinny jeans? Is it that you're going to have your BMI low enough to kind of, you know, have the surgery? Is it that you're going to be able to, I don't know, get in your wedding dress? That's quite a surface one, but it's when you get deeper that you really start to think, what's nice about being slim? What do you like about it? What do you like about having lost weight?
Well, I guess it, for me, comes back to the clothes, isn't it? And having a photo taken of me and me thinking, yeah, I look all right in that.
Yes, not like I did when I was
someone
in the mirror,
else
like,
takes a photo of you and it's not from your favourite angle.
Oh my God, it's so true. Someone took a picture of me yesterday and I was like, hold on, I've got to breathe in. I need the light from the left. I'm taking my glasses off. It's so true. Like, you know, when someone catches you off guard and you're like, oh no, you didn't get my 76 chins out of it.
Because I'm starting to do public speaking.
Oh, yeah.
And then people are snapping away and you're thinking, what am I going to say next?
Yeah.
I've got to breathe in, but I can't breathe in and do public talking.
And I can't go like this. Yeah.
And these photos are coming at all angles.
Yeah. So I have to do a leg pose when I'm in a photograph. So I have to like lift one buttock up, twist to the left, right? And if you're taking a picture of me and I don't know it's happening, I ain't done the buttock lift. Anyway, so what's nice about being slim? What's in it for me in the way in... I'll start again. What's in it for me? In what ways will my life get better once I'm slim? That has such a big open space that you could answer that with, doesn't it? Like, how's life going to be better? Well, there's loads of like, well, I can, my breathing will get easier. I can walk up the stairs without my knees hurting. But like for you, your confidence to go out and public speak.
Oh yeah. I mean, this time last year, there's no way I would have done any of this stuff.
Yeah.
No way.
And it's that's massive. That's your career. That's your livelihood, isn't it? What will being slim do for me? So what's that going to impact? How is your life going to change from being slim? You know, we've got some drastic examples, you know, from people who were going to die if they didn't lose the weight. Mm. Equally to people who, I've had this, you know, people have come out of abusive relationships because they've had the confidence because they've lost weight. Also, what is the best thing that could happen to me when I'm slim? So those things that you don't attach to being slim that you may need to attach to motivate you. Then there's the against. So the questions you're going to ask yourself, why I don't want to be slim. What don't I like about being slim? Now, this was a massive one for me that I hadn't realised was massive. I was always known as like the funny one. Do you know what I mean? The loud one. Mm. Big Anna. You know, happy Anna, smiley Anna. I was worried I would lose me if I was slim, like I wouldn't have that.
I agree.
Yeah, did you feel that?
I think one of the things that I had to do, and I did this when I quit alcohol as well, because I kind of felt like I lost my place socially. Yes. Going out on a Saturday night in the pub, I still wanted to go out and hang out with my mates, but I didn't quite know who I was meant to be.
Yeah.
And I had to write a letter to break up with the old me.
Did you?
Yeah. So I kind
You're
of
amazing, Claire.
You're
brilliant.
I get told these things. I can't take you know. All. But it was one of those. Comes back to that letting go, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And I was afraid that I wouldn't be the life of the party, very social, very outgoing, and I'd just become this boring, dreary, dull.
I felt like that's a mum.
Safe
person. Safe. Yeah. Oh. Like you're not exciting. Well, yeah, I can be exciting, thin, not drink, and have a two-year-old.
And actually, you're in a way better mood.
Yes.
And you can last longer.
And you laugh at people getting hammered and puking. Now, this is a massive one. And we talked about this in Greek yesterday, actually. What don't I like about slimming? Well, I'll tell you lots of things I don't like. And actually, acknowledging the thing for me was I couldn't eat KFC when I wanted to and still lose weight. And I couldn't eat chocolate. I used to eat like 16 Snickers bars in a day. Couldn't eat that much chocolate and still be slim. What bad things might happen if I'm slim? That's a really interesting one. And it's acknowledging what being overweight may be stopping you from doing. So actually, you can hide behind, like I did, making big decisions in your life because you were overweight and I wasn't ready to deal with it. What things do I use my weight as a reason for doing and not doing? Mm. So true that, isn't it? How much attention might I lose if I lose weight? Again, that's the life and soul of the party. And again, the next one is one that really strikes a chord with me. Am I afraid of failure so I play at losing weight and don't really commit? So for me, if I didn't really try, I couldn't fail. But if I tried so blinking hard and it didn't work, well, where did that leave me? Because that was my last option and it was exhausted. So if you're out there and not found your why, doing something like a for and against list would really, really help you, because it will allow you to really see in black and white what your focus is and what you're actually scared of. And 9 times out of 10, when I've done these or I've watched people do them, the list, which is for losing weight, is so massive and the list against is so tiny that you go, I really, really want to do it. Also, I would really recommend that you do this at different points. So I must have done about 56 of these in my life. I really must have. So it's a really great thing to kind of have a go at, but you've got to be prepared to be super honest, haven't you?
I think the against one is almost more important
yes.
for me than,
yeah.
than the why and what are the good things that I'm going to get out, because I kind of know that it's going to make you feel better. And I'm a yo-yoer, so I've been in the good situation. I know the good and I know the bad.
You're not anymore, Claire. You've broken that cycle.
I know. Thanks. Change your language. But what I do recognise is that the idea of almost like kind of locking yourself in a bit of a prison, really, in a bit of a cage. And when you think that you are depriving yourself of somebody, of something, somebody,
Freudian slip there,
something, then that can almost feel like, yeah, you're punishing yourself. And
we had this discussion yesterday, didn't we, Claire? About you going away to work and how you were literally feeling like you had to eat cold prawns and a salad in a dark hotel room. And that's why you were depriving yourself.
Well, because I was reading a book by Jason Vale, who's done loads of different books.
Is he the juicing man?
He's a juicing man, but he writes loads of different things. He's also quit alcohol as well. Okay. So he's got one like Kick the Drink, which was written years ago. But he talks about this idea of... you know, you can only give in to something if you've given up something. And actually, you know, don't avoid some of these situations, like, I don't know, going out to restaurants.
100%.
You know, going out clubbing with your mates or going to birthday parties. 'Cause
embrace it as the new you.
Yeah. And I think that just kind of, when I started thinking about some of the letting go of the old me and what I was worried about missing out on, to know that it was quite freeing that I've got the key to this prison and I can release it. It's not the people that are putting that into me, that you have that control.
I'm sure there's another song, isn't there, by Paula Abdul about that?
Is there?
I've got the key. I've got this. No.
That's not Paula Abdul. I've got the key. I've got
the
secret.
Oh my God, who's that?
I've got the key to another life.
I've got the key.
That's not Paula.
No.
You don't even know the words.
Who is it?
So look, this is one of the things that he's written. He's called this thing, whenever we quit something, people call it like recovery, don't they? Like, we've got a problem because we can't deal with whatever this thing is, be it food, alcohol, drugs or whatever. Do you want to be in recovery, just surviving from day to day? Or do you want to be fully liberated and living every day?
Oh, I love him.
And so then that's where, when we kind of get to grips with some of these, whatever it is that, you know, we're kind of underlying stopping and holding ourselves back, and we relinquish that, then we can be free to enjoy the fours.
And looking at what you're gaining, not losing.
Yeah.
Can I just say, it's the key, the secret, by the Urban Cookie Collective.
Yes, yeah. I do know. It was on there. I think, I believe it was on Now 26 cassette 2.
Oh, frig off. Oh my God, you don't. I've got the key. Okay, I'm going to stop.
Do you know what? I always sing that song when I leave the house with my housemate.
Do you?
Yeah, I always say, you know, we say to each other, have you got your keys?
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I respond
I just
that.
Say to my husband, have you got your keys?
Anyway, we digress. But
so, yeah, I think what we're trying to say is, to find your why gives you the motivation, gives you the inspiration. But in order to find the why, you've got to find the why not.
Wow. That summarised that whole
waffle,
didn't it?
Are you proud of me, Claire?
You've got to take a bit of time out. If you do one 100%. Thing this week, journaling, I think, opens my mind up.
And
anyway,
there's scattering as well.
Scatter focus.
Scatter focus. I'm sure scattering's actually something quite dodgy.
I mean, it's this crazy Canadian called Chris Bailey, who talks about this idea of scatter focus and finds way of doing, you get more done by doing less, but allowing yourself to have these kind of doodles and wanders and having a journal. I think, you know, if there's one thing that you do this week, go get a nice journal with a nice little fancy quote on the front. Oh. Buy a new pen.
Oh, I love a new pen. Oh, you should. Do you know how many unused notebooks I've got currently under my stairs? 36.
Right, well, Anna, if you contact Anna, she'll give you one for free.
No, they're mine. I might need them.
The point is, if you find a little time, and don't have to commit to it every day, but start to draw and doodle and just note these thoughts. And I talked about surfing the urge. And a lot of time when you kind of put this stuff pen to paper, you start seeing the patterns. And I don't commit myself to writing a diary every day. But whenever I need to, I write something down. And then I go back and I look over time and think, I felt like this before. What did I feel like? And I'll be like, this is a mirror. This has happened maybe 3 or 4 times over the last year. So there's something about this pattern.
What is that
trigger?
Yeah.
Why am I feeling that? And then you start to kind of think bigger than just that one particular emotion at that time. And you spot the themes behind what you're doing. Go read the theory. Go do the research.
You love the analytics behind it, don't you? Yeah.
Because I think a lot of the times we can get stuck in a bubble in our head. And of all the times when I was most depressed, sat in my own bedroom, afraid to open the curtains, afraid to look at my phone, answer the phone or anything, I just sat with my eyes closed with my duvet over my head.
Yeah.
And the one thing I could never escape was my own head. And actually, when I stepped out that bubble and looked at what other people were saying, listened to podcasts, read books about this.
You knew you weren't alone as well.
I knew, yeah, and I knew there was reasons why behind that this was happening, and that unlocked me to kind of really looked at the things that were holding me back from what I knew I wanted, which was to be a confident, happy person.
Which you are now.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, I could see a massive difference.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Look, there you go. This is all work in progress, isn't it? You know, happiness is a direction, not a place.
Oh, she's full of them today. Well, blinking love them.
It's the kind of feeling of I'll be happy when.
Well, that's what, do you know what my biggest thing I remember about losing weight is thinking when I got in my size 10 skinny jeans, life was going to be perfect. I just had some really nice skinny jeans and still had a whole heap of do with. Yeah. I really wanted to swear then. So I think it's also recognising that losing weight doesn't solve all your problems, but may give you the confidence and the tools to go and solve a lot of them. It may well do.
Yeah. Well, as you said, like, you know, I wouldn't be out doing this stuff in my own business and standing in front of 60 people, you know, talking about my story and things like that, having not kind of made these steps initially over last year. So
wow.
I think it is interesting how you surprise yourself of where it's more than weight loss, where this step and by going and making this commitment can actually really take you in the big thing called life.
Yeah, well, you can gain a whole life, can't you?
And
like I literally did, didn't I, without my weight
lose
loss.
Lose a body.
Yes, exactly. I wouldn't have a little person if it wasn't for Slimming World and my weight loss. So, you know, Daisy Mangan is all thanks to Margaret Miles Bramwell. That's what I put it down to.
Wow.
Yeah, bold statement there. Thanks, Max.
Well, we want to hear your comments and feel free if you want to be, you know, make that kind of commitment and notate in writing what your why is and you want to hold yourself accountable, you know, then send us a message. It can always be private. And if you don't want them read out, you can just let us know. Just tell us it's a private message, just that you want to put pen to paper or fingers to keypads, whatever the phrase I try and invent. I need to 21st century that
you
one,
really
don't I?
You really do that?
Handwriter, typewriter. the email address for us is slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com and our Insta
is at slimmingworldpodcast on Instagram. Come and find us and hopefully you will get some little bits of motivation there too.
You can subscribe as well because next week it is... ignoring the numbers.
Yes. Like you'd ignore your age, ignoring the scales.
And that's what we're doing next week. Have a cracking week, whatever you get up to.